Ready? Call our meeting to order. Good afternoon, and thank you for being here. We have a pretty short agenda. The first item of which is approval of our board minutes from May 7th. Unfortunately, I was not here, so I don't have a lot of corrections to make. Are there any other comments or corrections that need to be made? See any? So. Thank you. Mr. Anderson moves adoption of the minutes. Mr. Brewington seconds. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Hearing none, the motion carries. So the minutes are adopted. And that takes us to you, Mr. Parker.
Great. Thank you, Treasurer. So we're here today to talk through the RFP for the board's investment consultant. I'm just going to walk through the recommendation memo and then happy to answer any questions that the board members have. Fortunately, Board Member Streisinger was on the RFP committee, so she can also chime in as I go through this if I miss something. But you will recall the board hired Siegel Investment Advisors about 2.5 years ago, and that contract was a 3-year contract. And so as that contract has come up, we did an RFP to get to survey the marketplace because that contract was coming due. It actually comes due on July 31st as well. And so we worked with the Treasury's procurement department and issued an RFP for investment consulting services. You can see the evaluation committee was made up of Board Member Streisinger, myself, David Bell, and Joel Metlin. We issued that early this year to put this out to bid and got four responses back, Callan, Maketa, Siegel, and Selwood Consulting. All those proposals were received in good order, so we evaluated all of those proposals. The services that we requested in the RFP were, as you can imagine, investment policy development, investment performance monitoring, fee negotiation, performance reporting, investment manager searches, record-keeping searches, data reporting, custom fund creation if the board ever wants to do something like that, program design, transition services, special projects, and if we want to do any board education, we'd also request that that be put in the RFP as well. And then we looked at a number of criteria to evaluate these proposals. Essentially, the organization, the ownership of the company, the independence of the company. You can imagine you want a company that doesn't have any conflicts of interest at all. So they have to be completely independent of each of those conflicts. Their employees, their resources as a firm, their essentially broad consulting capabilities. So how do they do that? Additional or more detailed investment-related capabilities, and program administration capabilities, their clientele, and then lastly, as you can imagine, price. So the evaluation committee member evaluated the proposal separately, independent of price. So we didn't see the price until we were finished evaluating the actual proposals. And we assigned each of those criteria points. And the pricing points then were added on after we actually turned in our proposals to the procurement office and they added in price. The pricing points were actually pre-established based on the rank of the price. So the group with the lowest price got ranked the most points and then on down. And then we essentially looked at the points after we added in the pricing and selected the top two proposers to come for an interview. And we did a unique, kind of a unique interview process where we actually had both the proposers, which was Selwood and Siegel were the two top point getters, do a sort of a mock board presentation on a topic that we picked, a predetermined topic that we picked. And so we wanted them to essentially, you know, act like we were the board, the four members were the board, and give us a presentation. So each group did that. Each group had about 90 minutes to present their board presentation, and then a series of questions that we asked each of those top two proposers. And at that point, then we rescored the proposers again based on the interview questions and their mock presentation. And at that point, then the board the committee deliberated on the top two proposers, and the evaluation committee is recommending that the board let the Siegel contract run out on July 31st, and that the evaluation committee recommends that the board enter into contract negotiations with Selwood Consulting as the investment consultant for the board. So that's been the process that we went through. Actually, it's a fairly thorough process. All the proposals were very good. As you can imagine, they ranged in price from fairly high to fairly moderate, but we didn't let the price be the dictating factor. We really wanted to find a company that we could work with for a long term. I will remind the board that Selwood Consulting is also the investment consultant for the 529 board as well, so it does provide us some abilities to have the synergy between the two boards and staff. So that's a nice piece.
So I think at this point I would first ask Ms. Dreischer if there's anything she wants to add to that, and then do you have in mind that we'd want to hear, I guess this is a question for the board and me, for you, Mr. Parker, as well, whether we'd want to hear from Selwood and then take up the recommendation?
Yeah, Mr. Treasurer, it would be my intention to have Selwood come up and introduce themselves, introduce their firm to you, since some of you don't know them. I know that you know them. Talk about their firm a little bit, talk about who's going to work on the project.
Okay.
And then the board will deliberate after that.
Great. So why don't you guys come up, and while you're coming up, ask Mr. Treasurer if there's anything you want to add about the process for our benefit, please.
Only that I think we were fortunate in having four really good proposals and two finalists. I think we've all really appreciated the work Siegel's done for us over the years, but I'm certainly looking forward to working with Selwood. Again, the only thing I would add is that actually Selwood, although they have not been working directly with Oregon Saves and have not been our formal advisors, actually have kind of on their own been attending meetings and participating in some of the program development work. So they're certainly familiar with Oregon Saves, and I don't have any doubt in their ability to hit the ground running. But once again, I think we're just really fortunate in the quality of the proposals we received.
Great. Thank you. Gentlemen.
Thank you, Treasurer Reed and board. Very happy to be here. I'm Ryan Harvey. I'm the proposed lead consultant to the team. I'm also the lead consultant to the 529 plans and the 529 board, and have been for about a decade now. I'm joined on that client relationship, and we propose that I be joined on this one with my partner, Kevin Raymond, who unfortunately had a travel conflict today, so couldn't be here. He sends his regards. His substitute is our managing principal, Charlie Weibel, who's sitting to my right. And I'd also like to introduce two other very important members of our team, Ryan Fitzgerald and Nathan Pellitz, who would be working behind the scenes should we be fortunate enough to work with you. Just real briefly, I'm not sure how much of the details about our firm that you've read, but just in a thumbnail sketch of Selwood Consulting is that we're a boutique investment advisor to institutional clients. We're located about a half mile that way down the road. We did not walk today, but we could have. We advise about $5.3 billion of about 50 client relationships, and to the extent we specialize in anything, it is in complex clients that have unique and special objectives, constraints, goals, challenges, opportunities. We love complex clients that force us to kind of dig in and get our hands dirty and really kind of wring out inefficiencies and solve problems. As much fun as it is to think about, you know, what the Fed's going to do next month or what's happening with inflation or deflation and all that big macro market stuff, which, you know, it is all of our passion, we know that where we can add the most value to plans like Oregon Saves is by kind of getting in those weeds and working with your staff and being a constant ongoing partner. So we love those types of blank slate client relationships. We believe this would be one. As board member Streisinger mentioned, we've been following your program for several years now, since actually before it launched. Your passion as a board for making this the best program it can be is very obvious. And if I want to leave you with anything today, it's just that we really share those values. We don't want to get involved in anything without, you know, working as hard as we can to make it as good as we can, and we'd be really proud to do that for you.
And I'll just say, my name is Charlie Weibel. I'm the managing principal at Sellwood. Obviously, Ryan and Kevin will be your lead consultants and your daily contacts. I can speak mostly just to Sellwood Consulting, which was founded by Kevin, Ryan, and Ashley Maring 7 years ago, and with the intent of being a stable, long-term partner for our clients. Importantly, the firm was designed with long-term stability in mind, and that is one of the problems with our particular industry is that there is a fairly low barrier to entry and there's frequent turnover. There's a strategy, and then there's execution, and I'm proud to say that after 7 years, we've had no turnover in our principals. We've broadened the ownership. The firm has grown from the initial four people to now just adding our 10th employee, and we've had continuous growth in our client base, adding 5 to 6 clients per year, frighteningly, as was the original plan, and that has actually materialized. You know, business plans don't always work that way, and the fact that we now have 40 clients and $5.5 billion and have continued exactly along the plan trajectory, I think is one of the things that you should take greatest comfort in, is that the people that you see here today were here at the inception and will be here as this plan grows, matures, and becomes a substantial part of the savings of Oregonians. So I'm happy to answer any questions about the firm and its structure and ownership, but for any particular questions about what you need from the management of the Oregon Saves Plan, those questions are best directed to Ryan.
Thank you. Other questions from the board?
No, thank you.
Go ahead. Turn your microphone on, Mr. Anderson, please.
Sellwood used to be in Sellwood, so you moved. I didn't know that.
No, unfortunately, we have never been in Sellwood.
There's another Sellwood you were thinking of. Sellwood, something else.
Maybe that was St. John's Investments. Okay.
No, we've always been in the spot that we are in since our inception on August 1st, 2012. Which, if you are local, you know, for a lot of our clients out of the area, that's immaterial. Right. But when we named the firm, we had three criteria that we wanted to meet. We wanted to tie to a local landmark. We wanted an available domain name. And with the number of Native American heritage names that are in Oregon, we wanted something that could be spelled by a fourth grader. And we ended up, after a long search, ending up with Sellwood Consulting, which unfortunately is not in Sellwood.
I thought it was Ashley that gave me the impression you were actually in Sellwood. So,
okay. Tiger Consulting.
She did very well in marketing.
The thought of the domain name is not insignificant, as we discovered when it came to OregonSaves.com.
No.
I have two questions. One that is a little more general and one that's a little more specific. So, Ryan, you mentioned at the top that you like complex situations and complex clients, and I think I have some idea about what you mean, but I'd like you to talk about what that means to you, and particularly in the contrast, and the board members can certainly correct me, but I think as much as we recognize the unusual and sort of groundbreaking nature of what we're doing, we aspire to simplicity. At least on the part of what the experience will be for employers and savers. So maybe you could talk a bit about those things.
Very happy to. I should have said the second half of that is we love getting into complex situations and then working really hard to simplify them. I think that it's true not just in programs like this, but just in general in our industry. Unfortunately, things are designed to be complex on purpose, because if end users and clients can't understand what it is, they're going to overpay for it. And we see it as our job to kind of demystify that, tear it apart, make it very understandable. So we find that just the mere act of digging in and kind of knowing as much about the program as your service providers That's really hard work. It takes a lot of time. Not every advisory firm is set up to deliver that, but we are on purpose. But just that mere fact can cause, you know, fees to come down. You know, we've worked with a number of clients that, you know, just by the mere fact of us being hired, the fees went down. Like, we didn't even need to start negotiating.
It's a nice reputation to have.
I mean, fees are very very important, and one of the ways where we can add the most value, in my opinion. I think, though, there's a lot of, it's easy to get caught up reading the magazines we do and thinking the way we do about markets and investment managers and strategies, to kind of get so wrapped up in that you lose sight of what is just possible to implement within an investment structure. And you have a very special one here where it's not a plan where all of these accounts are aggregated in one place. They are kind of distributed it out in little, you know, smaller bites. And so I think what I'm trying to say with the complexity element is just the matching up of the optimal investment solution to the reality of on the ground possible. That's a unique and special challenge that takes a lot of time to wrap our mind around. But ultimately, the outcome of that would be a very simple solution for everybody outside of our little working group. I'm very mindful that your mission is, I didn't write down the exact words, but I think it was to ease access to professionally managed retirement solutions. I mean, the easing of the access part is our job.
That's helpful. I didn't mean to intend that as a gotcha sort of question,
but
it was an interesting tension in the way you set it up, so thank you for that. Mr. Brunkley.
Yeah, I'd just like to reinforce the point made by the chairman here. Simplicity, we believe, is one of the main reasons that this program has been so well received and successful.
Yes, absolutely.
And so going forward, I would just once again reiterate the fact that we need to keep it not only simple in terms of access, but simple in terms of understanding and the choices that can be made by the people who are investing in the program. So we would just ask you to keep that in mind as you go forward.
Absolutely. And that's that's our preference as well. I mean, that's not just our bias and preference, but there's a lot of research backing that up as well, where the more complex something gets, even in a normal defined contribution plan, going from 20 to 22 investment options offered, that causes participation to go down. So in every regard, simpler is better. I guess all I'm trying to suggest is that for it to appear that simple to the end user requires a lot of complexity behind the scenes, and that's what we'd see our job as engineering.
Thank you.
Yeah. One other question. I'm a pension trustee, and so our investment managers are compared to peer-to-peer groups or stylistic comparatives. Is that something we can expect to see in a defined kind of a contribution investment, how your peers are doing collectively? Do you beat beta, those type of things?
Absolutely, to the extent we can. All of our performance, we're really proud of our performance reporting, and Treasurer Reed, you've sat on the 529 board, you've seen it. We make every effort, while keeping it simple and easy to understand, to evaluate performance with as high of fidelity as possible for all the, you know, fund options offered. And then particularly in this setting, to look at benchmarking of not just those returns, but all the fees and also the census fees, and wrapping up all the fees paid by the plan and trying to benchmark those to a national average. Now, in this setting, there isn't much of a nationwide peer group or average to compare to, so that may be a little bit more ad hoc than it might be in a, you know, in a 401k setting or in a 529 setting. But we're very eager to collect as much of that data as possible and present as much context surrounding all these numbers that we show you as we possibly can.
The mere discussion of what the appropriate benchmark is may be one of our most interesting. Mm-hmm. Did you have a follow-up?
Well, exactly. Yeah. So you guys maintain a fiduciary role to the fund?
Absolutely, yep.
One other quick question. Mm-hmm. I wonder, given the experience we've had together on the college savings plan side, if there are any particular lessons or experiences that you think are relevant that this board ought to know about, lessons you'd bring perhaps?
Yes, I think in terms of, this kind of goes back to the simplicity, complexity. We've, I think, worked very hard to engineer things behind the scenes that take a lot of time. I mean, I think in the last 5 years, probably not 2 weeks have gone by that Michael or Dave Bell and I haven't spoken on the phone about something. It's And so there's a lot of, it just takes a lot of work with your staff, with us, with service providers, just to think and design and see what's possible, ask questions about, hey, this is, you know, a census. This has never been done before, but could we do it? But then if you can think creatively like that, you can actually engineer, you know, better investment options, a simpler investment approach for end participants by creating things that are not on the shelf that you can't get anywhere else, but that we build specifically for this. So I guess that experience really did teach me that the harder we can think behind the scenes to engineer something that's simple for savers, that it's possible to do that. I would also say, just I mentioned fees earlier, just the importance of paying very, very close attention to fees. One thing in common with this plan's maybe 15 years behind the 529 plans in one respect, which is just their...
Oregon Saves, but you mean this plan?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, Oregon Saves. Just from the growth of the plan. You know, the 529 was brand new at one point, and, you know, over the years we've seen that as plans or programs grow, the set of solutions that are optimal at that point in time change. Mm-hmm. And the trick is kind of knowing when to try and design something that works permanently versus knowing that this is a stopgap solution that is going to work for the next 5 years or until $500 million of assets or something like that. And just kind of getting an appreciation of what all the different providers are out there and how the fees work and all that that's been one lesson that I took from that relationship, that things that worked at half the assets or 5 years ago don't work today.
Change.
Things change.
Are there any other questions?
One question, please. I'm sorry. I know that you provide support for the 529 plan, so if you adopt the Oregon Savings Plan, will this be separate contracts or will it be consolidated into one service?
Yeah, there'll be separate contracts because they're separate boards. Yep.
With different times of expiration?
Yes, okay. Correct.
Okay. Ms. Backus, please.
This is maybe also a question for Michael. I'm just curious if we have been thinking about any structural changes to the contract. So, you know, comparing what we've been asking Siegel to do and what we would be potentially asking Selwood to do, you know, are there changes you've been thinking about or that are in fact planned? And would be interested in hearing Ryan's kind of response to that, and also just because you've been around and you've been watching Siegel do this work with us, and if you just have any comments about kind of your approach and how that might be different or how you might sort of, you know, see how kind of how that comparison might look for us.
Yeah, I'll answer the first part of the question. The answer is definitely in two respects. One, I think you're going to see much more comprehensive and better reporting coming from Selwood. And the second piece is we're working really hard on the 529 side, and we're going to institute that here on a lot more data analysis to give the board the ability to look at these plans in relation to real-life data. And so I think what you're going to see from Selwood is a real push to make it much more comprehensive and understandable, and then how do we fit in with the rest of the world, even though we don't have 50 states to compare ourselves to, we can still compare ourselves to, you know, 401k plans around the country. So,
and soon to some other states.
And soon some other states. So I think what you're going to see from Selwood is a much more comprehensive view of how we present this plan to you and to the public. So it could be significantly different on the reporting side and the data analysis side.
And to your second question, I haven't been privy to any of the work that's happened between your staff and the Siegel in between meetings, but I have come to most of your quarterly meetings over the last couple years or so. And I think the biggest kind of style difference that I believe you'll perceive in working with us is that we'll spend a lot less of our time at this podium speaking about markets. And that's not to diminish the importance of what's going on with, you know, interest rates and the Fed and all that stuff. But I think we're perhaps a little more mindful or differently mindful that in designing a defined contribution plan, that stuff is interesting, but it's a really limited practical value. If you have a set of target date funds that are intended to be, I mean, you'll change them from time to time, but it's a mutual fund. It's an off-the-shelf mutual fund, and you can't, if you had a view of U.S. equity doing better than non-U.S. equity, there's nothing you can do within that structure. So as the program evolves, and there will be a time in the future where you won't have that constraint of just mutual funds in this program, where that may become more relevant, but I think that it's not that we ignore all of those market inputs, it's that I think we emphasize more the structural content of the program.
What we can actually do.
What's actionable.
I think I would just add to that the best determinant of how successful an individual participant will be in creating a reasonable retirement for themselves is not going to be contingent upon their opinion about interest rates when they're 25 years old and have $1,000 in their plan. It's going to be how much they contribute each and every year, how simple it is to access, and how disciplined they are about maintaining good savings, managing fees appropriately, and having a disciplined approach to retirement savings, not whether the Fed makes a change in August or September of this year.
So if I'm understanding that correctly, you're saying that a big part of the service that you provide is more of a sort of plan consulting and sort of structural consulting. I understand that you're also doing the investment consulting, but it sounds like that's more static, and that maybe one of the things that you present as a value add is that more of that things for us to consider about how to make changes to the plan potentially.
I think that's fair and at minimum kind of directionally correct. And I don't mean to minimize. There's a lot of work to be done just to review and make sure you have the right investments in place. And then, understanding a census's costs and their fee structure and making sure that that's a good match. And that's a lot of work, and it's ongoing work. But once you have identified and selected an investment lineup, I think that we're going to be a lot, and I don't know, has it ever changed since it was launched? I don't believe so. I guess all I'm trying to say is if the investment lineup is not going to change, all of the detail that we could bring to you as a board about current macroeconomic conditions it's not actionable. But I guess specifically to answer your question, there's a lot, it's hard for me to contrast this to Siegel's approach because I didn't see what was happening between meetings, but I know we do a lot between the meetings, a lot of work with your staff on program design and things like that.
And I think I'll just add to that. I think what you're going to see from Siegel, if you recall, if you look at Siegel and look at what State Street reports, so we have State Street here every once in a while, you're going to see that sort of combined into, we're going to have the consultants report to you instead of the managers. So the value add is the ability for them to look at this holistically. I don't really believe Siegel has looked at this plan holistically like that, and they're going to suggest or work around the edges to refine it where they can. And I think what Siegel was doing was simply just reporting, the investment pieces is to you. So it is more like a plan consultant within the investment shop.
Thank you. That's helpful.
So you looked like you were going to say something earlier. No? Okay. Other questions? Thank you both very much. I think we're going to ask you now to step out and we'll have a little discussion.
Thank you very much.
I'll just say the experience we've had on the college savings plan side is really impressive. I was interested in his answer to the question about lessons from that, because within the college savings plan, Selwood helped us completely revamp the lineup, and we are now the only college savings plan in the country that offers a target date fund for each year of enrollment. It used to be that it was, here's the allocation for age 0 to 5, and here's 5 to 9, these big, chunky steps. We've now got much smoother glide path. So for me, that I was thinking about that as an example of value add and really disciplined approach to all those things. Other things we want to talk about?
Yes, please. Mr. Chairman. I may not be accurate in this, but some time ago I felt that the Oregon 529 plan ran into some difficulties. Is that an accurate statement, or was that just bad news that I got?
Yes, thank you for bringing that up.
I apologize, Michael. I just...
No, you're right. Back in 2009 and 2010, our previous manager, Oppenheimer, ran into some issues with a bond fund. We subsequently fired and sued the company and won a $20 million settlement. We brought Selwood on when those folks were at RVK. So we hired RV Coons, RVK. These folks were at RVK at that point, and they helped us right the ship, and then they went out on their own a couple, 3 years later.
That's so good to hear.
So as Ryan mentioned, he's been working on 529 for the better part of a decade. So he understands, and again, they've been all working in 401k and defined contribution for their entire careers.
Thank you.
To reiterate something that Ms. Parker just said, the problem was with Oppenheimer,
yep.
and they settled that lawsuit.
Yep.
And I was not here for that either, but the... I think that settlement really underscored where the fault was too.
Yep.
You can tell my concern was where these guys at the helm at the time, you know.
Right.
They were not. We hired them after that to help us get through the process. Yep.
Mr. Anderson first, and Ms. Bax. Go ahead.
One thing that I'm kind of concerned about, and I like the firm, and RV Coons used to be our consultant for many, many years. One thing that I'm a little concerned about from my edification is why I might be a member working in a shop and I'm participating in a, let's say, a 30-year plan, time horizon plan. So I don't need to know about the ups and the downs. I do feel that this board needs to have some of that understanding and wouldn't dismiss it and just say, okay, we're on autopilot. I mean, I would fail to meet my fiduciary.
Sure.
Here's the example. Occidental Petroleum was the first 401k. They learned an innocuous rule in 1968 and created a defined contribution plan, never meant to be a retirement, which today substantially is the American retirement. We know pensions from that period on are 40% more efficient and gain. So the benefit here is we have professional management in this defined contribution world, which is just a significant winner. But it seems like we still have to have some of those basic matrix coming to us because we know that in 2009 stock market crash, we watched professional management investment houses and companies lean forward too much. How do we know if they're leaning forward too much?
Yep.
I'm not somebody who micromanages, but I should know that if we're leaning too forward too much, everything is clear in the rearview mirror. So I do think that we do need to have some form of benchmarking or some kind of matrix that at least we see. That the shop guy is not going to care about that.
Yep.
But I think we have a fiduciary obligation to care about that.
I think we will hear that. And my reaction, I think you raised a good point. My reaction to what they were saying was that they were answering the question about that was set up in the what's the contrast between you and mm-hmm. Siegel. So I think you make a good point. But I'm not as worried about that as I hear you. But if you want to add anything to that, either one.
Sure.
Please.
No, please.
Yeah, I would just, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't, if what they're saying is you might not see so much of – you might see a little less of it and more of a focus on other things.
Yeah.
That's great. I would not want them to abandon it altogether. The fact that we stay with the same investment choices from year to year does not mean that we don't need to be on an ongoing basis reviewing whether it's correct to do that.
Right.
And so I wouldn't want them to get the overboard the other direction.
Yeah, let me add to that because it's a great point, and I think – They did themselves a bit of a disservice. I think what they were trying to explain was what they could add on top of what Siegel was doing.
Yep.
You will not be wanting for data and performance reporting.
That's absolutely.
They'll provide all of it. And I think what we need to make sure of is we provide the right cadence at the meeting. So they'll have everything in front of you. They'll report what you want them to report, but they will have the ability for you to do your fiduciary duty by what they're going to present you on a quarterly basis, for sure.
Really,
they're very thorough.
Really deep on the college savings plan side. I don't think you'll...
Yep.
I think Mr. Parker's right. You won't be wanting.
I totally respect the firm, and I very much support the selection. But it'd be remiss if I didn't say there's a fiduciary here. And it's just very important. We have some idea that the Titanic on the 10-year plan is being managed a little more efficiently than, say, somebody on a 40-year plan.
Yeah.
And
well, hopefully they're both efficient, but differently, right?
Well, yes. Bad analogy, I apologize. But it's just very important that there be some stewardship matrix.
Yeah.
And then independent of them, we need to know some benchmarking tools in the defined contribution world so that we can see, are we getting value for the investment advice and a peer group? And that includes Horizon plans.
Yep.
Thank you for raising it. Ms. Backus, please.
I'd just be interested in hearing from the members of the committee, the three of you that are here, just kind of your, you know, kind of what it came down to between Siegel and Selwood, what made you lean one way or the other to the extent you did. I'd just be interested in hearing some pros and cons from each of you on kind of a high level.
I mean, I'll just say that there were the scoring criteria were pretty elaborate. I mean, so there were weighted points for a wide variety of factors. As a board member, of course, one of the things that I'm particularly interested in, among all the others, is the investment, the board advice component, and the, I guess, what, you know, overall management advice.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say that there was a striking difference in the during the interview process, and particularly in the mock board presentation. What we had asked them to do was a mock board presentation on lifetime income options, because it's a topic we haven't really discussed as a board, but it's something that we probably will discuss. And there was a distinct difference in the understandability, usability, and sort of practical on the ground approach between the two firms that I think everybody
was pretty stark.
Struck by, including the procurement staff. I mean, there were other factors, and it was not sort of all or nothing at all. There were factors on which Siegel was stronger. There were factors on which Selwood was stronger. But that was one thing I would just call out as something that I think struck all of us.
And I mean, I totally agree. That was a stark difference between the two. And I will say, since we have experience with Selwood on the 529 side, what I know will happen is they won't just be here every quarter reporting to you. They're going to, I mean, I don't have a lot of interaction with Siegel, you know, during the quarter unless I initiate that contact. This group is going to be thinking about how to improve this plan all the time, not just for the participants alone, but for you, for the ease, for the fees, for a census. They're going to delve into the details. And they make it part of their structure. So you're going to see, you'll see better reporting. You will see that fiduciary piece. You'll also be able to say, hey, we want this. And they'll go back and they'll research it, and they'll bring that back to you. We've done a lot of that on the 529 side where we said, hey, we want this, and they'll bring that back. So I think it's the difference for me is it's just the service and the commitment that you're going to see from them is going to be completely different than Siegel.
And in the RFP responses, we could see that from the sample materials that were included, and then again some of the responses to the factors that we asked them about in the written RFP concerning their approaches. I want to be clear: although the information about past experience is useful, it wasn't actually part of the
right.
Evaluation process.
Right.
And Joel Matlin, for the record, one of the things is interesting, and it goes back to the question of how will they differ from Siegel, is that we tried to move the ball forward with Siegel several times on doing more programmatic reporting, we're generating tons of data, and I spent a lot of my time sitting back over there looking through it and trying to understand it so that we can make the program better in all kinds of ways, because there's tons of information there, but turning it into something actionable is a little difficult. And what we've seen with them on the 529 side is they've been able to take that information and use it to come up with here's things that might be of interest to you as a board and things you can do about it. And that's what I would really like to see done with this program. And I think that they're well situated to do because they are thinking about it constantly and taking more hands-on approach with program design, that we can start digging into it and start looking at things like demographics, like other data that we do have that we're just kind of sitting on right now because we don't have the expertise that we might want or the time from our experts to take a look at it and deep dive into it. And so that will be a significant difference, I believe, going forward with these folks. That doesn't mean it's to the detriment necessarily of the other taking a look at markets, taking a look at investment options, because obviously I think that the board, your investment policy statement says you have to take a look at your investments every year, so that'll be a first task for them, right? So there'll be a considerable work there, but I think that the added value for me is being able to have a partner that can look at those numbers with us and really do the deep dives that we need to do to take this from we've created the first version of it, it's working, what can we do to make it version 2.0 so it's doing even better and keeps us, again, just ahead of the pack in terms of this program being not just the first but also being sort of the flagship for these types of programs in the nation.
Thank you, Joel.
One comment.
Bridget, please.
Yeah, it sounds to me, you know, which I find encouraging, is that Sunwood is more likely to be customer-focused in the sense of providing us with useful information and maybe even helping us ask the right kinds of questions going forward. I mean, too often consultants sort of have these canned presentations of data, but oftentimes don't really look at it from our point of view, and so that's really encouraging to hear, so thank you.
I just have one other question. It's kind of a detail, but I know, Michael, you and I have had conversations about Wendy's role mm-hmm. and kind of her responsibilities or
right.
what she's presenting to us and
right.
kind of the policy piece.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I believe that you have said before that we don't really require that from our investment advisor now because we get that from a different association
Correct.
Or something.
Correct.
Okay.
We get a lot of that from Georgetown. We get a lot of that from the fact that I'm on the phone with California and Illinois on a regular 2-3 times a month basis. So we're deep into the policy right now. In fact, you know, we visit D.C. every year and talk with folks. So we're going to get as much of that or more that we need. We didn't need to have it from the consultant. I think, again, as Joel makes a great point, this group is going to make this plan better. Our job as the policy side is going to be making sure that this thing stays on you know where it needs to be on a legal basis and on a policy basis.
One last comment following up on what Ed talked about, synergies of two different programs, two different boards. I don't think it's appropriate now, but I think in the future those two synergies can be combined mm-hmm. for fee savings
yep.
to the plan.
Yep.
And we do it all the time in the multi-employer pension world. So just a thought, not today, but into the
future.
It's actually a nice segue to the point I was going to make if everyone's had a chance to make the comments and ask the questions they want to. And that's just to clarify that the motion, when we make it, will be to give you the authority, Mr. Parker, to negotiate the contract. So the terms of it have not been settled on yet.
They have not.
But your point might be relevant in that process as well.
Yep.
So if we are if we're at that point, if people are comfortable with it, I think we could make a motion if anyone wants to do that.
I would make.
You what? I'm sorry. Do you want to read the resolution?
Well, I was going to let people do it, but the resolution.
Oh, okay,
yes,
okay.
You're right. Says the resolution or the recommended resolution is the board accepts the evaluation committee's recommendation and directs staff to enter into contract negotiations with Sellwood Consulting LLC for the purpose of retaining Sellwood as the next investment consultant for the Oregon Retirement Savings Board.
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Brewington.
Second.
Moves approval of the recommended resolution. Mr. Anderson seconds the motion. Is there any discussion of the motion?
Just say thank the committee for all of its work. I appreciate all of you.
That's a great point, and I'll second that comment. Any other discussion? Any objections to the motion? Motion carries, and Mr. Parker, you should proceed to negotiations.
I will do that. Can I bring them back in and
yes,
you guys congratulate them? But
sure.
I just like to say that the committee did a great job procurement folks, Julie and Josh, did a fantastic job for us.
Thank you. Thank you.
And as usual, Board Member Streisinger did an awesome job. Her depth of knowledge, being a state employee and a manager, it just the little things that pop up to her are amazing. So I personally thank you for all of your help on this. It makes the process a lot better. So
we're lucky to have that whole team. The combination of subject specific and process specific is great. While you're going, I'll just take care of the rest here, and then we'll be adjourned, and everybody can be done.
Oh, actually, yes. You know what? We're still in public session, so the motion the motion needs to be made, of course, and in public meeting, but we are still in public.
We're done. Yeah. So the only other thing to do is to ask if there's any public comment, and I don't see any public. you guys are all great, but we know you, so that's done. And note that our next meeting will be on August 6th. Is there anything else that needs to come before? Good point. Have we landed on location for our next meeting? Still TBD, I think.
It's still TBD. I think we're looking at a couple of cities. Eugene, Corvallis, or Hood River are the three that are right now looking to be the most possibility with the proper employers there to help us. So
we'll give you a much advance notice. We're trying to find the right way to mix our agenda and to acknowledge the near 2-year anniversary and get a little public attention.
And we can and we can work on carpooling and all that stuff as we get closer if folks want to do that.
Yes, this might be an opportunity for us to update the web photo, including Jeff, of the board, because we still have an outdated photo.
Good point. Okay. So are we all here right now?
We don't have our legislative. No.
We don't have legislative members.
Oh, yes, that's a good point. We should wait for that after August session, but it's a good reminder that we do need to do that. Right. So let's think to do that. You were thinking August.
I was thinking August, yes.
Yes, good point. We will do that.
Either that or some really good Photoshop.
Yeah, we can Photoshop them in.
Might be simpler. Yeah. Okay. So congratulations, Selwood. Look forward to working with you, and I'll drop the gavel, and then we can keep talking. Thanks.
Thank you.